Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This is a market wrap as I am chatting with Chris Temple, and the markets have just closed. And Chris, boy oh boy, I'm seeing a lot of green on my screen. It almost doesn't matter outside of the dollar what sector you're looking at. Markets broadly were strong today. The S&P up almost 2%, the NASDAQ up almost 2.5%, the Dow up 1.75%. Really makes you wonder, hey, Chris, are all the worries that crept into the market over the last couple weeks, are those all forgotten now?
Well, for today, they certainly are. The first one being, as you mentioned, the dollar, the U.S. dollar index completed kind of a rounding bottom and started to break higher and then abruptly stopped. And I think part of the reversal that has continued today with the dollar index down about a third of a point or so is less fear over governance issues, for lack of a better term, because President Trump has gotten supposedly to feel better. He's going to be leaving Walter Reed Hospital in a couple of hours and going back to the White House. And so the markets don't have to worry as much about that as they were at the end of last week. You've still got a lot of liquidity out there. You've still got murmurings that at least we're going to get a couple pieces, perhaps, or some piecemeal type of stimulus measure yet, as negotiations have really revolved more around the Treasury Secretary as the proxy for both Trump and even for Mitch McConnell in the Senate, between him and Nancy Pelosi. So we'll see what happens, but the market has already priced that in, and if anything of any half significant worth is actually announced, they'll probably push things up higher still. So, but it's about the dollar, it's about stimulus hopes, it's about Trump getting better. And right now, we end today, Corey, with some key technical readings. You know, the U.S. dollar's reversal and rebound can't be written off as over with quite yet, but it won't take much more. And you know, keep in mind that the Fed has wanted all along to have this weaker dollar. The risk is that if something goes bad, as we saw glimmers of recently, you have people scramble and cover their dollar short positions and, you know, have to sell everything else that's gone up recently. But today was a reversal of all that. I mean, the most ridiculous of all of the moves, even more so in the stock market, in my opinion, was to see about a 6 or 7% rise in oil on nothing of any real fundamental significance. You had, you know, a couple of headlines. You've got some strikes in Norway that are causing some facilities to be shut down, but they'd have to be shut down for a while to have any impact at all on global supplies. But at the same time, Libya's production is going up. So here again, you've got traders that see the dollar reversing and, oh goody, we can play some more, and they're buying whatever they think is the opposite number, including oil, which, I'll say it again, has no business being $40 a barrel, but it is. So we'll see. You know, if the S&P 500, and both of them are going to need help from the dollar, if the S&P 500 can get a close above 3420 or 25, if gold can get a close above 1920-ish or so, on the spot market, that was the old nominal high. It's failed at that a couple of times. It kind of tailed off even today. Though the stock market closed at its highs, gold did not. But if it can, then all else being equal, you say, all right, well, I guess the rallies are going to resume for both the metals led by gold and for stocks. We'll see what happens. You know, we're kind of right on the edge of those today.
So I get, as much as the down dollar does help some of these commodities, fine, it might give traders the all clear to go in and try to push oil, gold higher. But doesn't it also just come down to the U.S. equity markets? If the markets are up, we seem to have all this money on the sidelines that goes into pretty much every asset class. But if the markets sell off, then that money gets scared. It's really just a confidence game right now, and it doesn't seem like anyone's paying attention to the news, because it's not as if COVID has gotten better. We are seeing increasing cases, but I don't know, for some reason there's just that much money on the sidelines and traders ignore pretty much everything.
Well, I think what you're saying is generally the landscape, but let me delve into one particular point, perhaps, Corey. I don't think that there's a great deal of money that's chasing all of these things. You know, we talked back a few weeks ago when SoftBank was found after the fact, and we had that big, sharp washout for a while, especially in tech stocks. They had commandeered all the long end of the options market in some respects. And it doesn't take a lot of money to do that. What's interesting is that a lot of retail investors and institutions don't trust this. They've got a lot of cash on the sidelines. I think it was last week or the week before you had the largest weekly outflow from stock, mutual funds, and ETFs in quite a while. So a lot of people that, you know, look at fundamentals like you and I do, they don't trust these moves. They've taken some money out. They've gone to the sidelines to a greater extent, at least until we see what happens on Election Day and 4 weeks from tomorrow, which we're not going to get any immediate answer on. Then maybe we'll see what happens. But, you know, when you've got these hotshot traders, these directional traders playing the Fed's casino that the Fed has created, it doesn't take huge volumes of money. There's not that they're not there, but it doesn't take a lot of that to have the tail wag the dog. You get people get into options on different stocks and stock indices. It causes the shares to move, and that causes people to go into both the options and the shares. And again, the same thing happens on the other side, as we saw a couple of times recently. You can get air pockets real fast when the music stops, at least for a little while, and there's not enough chairs for everybody to cash out at what current prices are. So that's the world in which we're in for the time being. It's not going to stay that way forever, but it's what we have right now. And so people who are nimble traders can try and play it. Otherwise, you know, keep in mind that 4 weeks from tomorrow, we have an election here in the U.S. that is almost guaranteed, Corey, that it's going to end up in, at best, indecisiveness for a number of days, and at worst, in a protracted political and legal fight and more riots and all the rest that's going to go with it.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I guess this all just speaks to this range-bound trade that we've been outlining for a while into the election and maybe even throughout the whole rest of this year. Chris, what about the Treasury market, though? We haven't been talking much about the Treasury market, mostly because it has been fairly quiet, fairly muted moves. But today we're seeing, on a percentage basis, a pretty big move, a sell-off in TLT, a spike in long-term and short-term rates. But the 10-year, that's up at 0.76% right now. It's actually a pretty strong move today. We haven't seen these type of moves in the Treasury market for months. What do you think's going on with Treasuries? Is that telling us that, again, traders just aren't all that scared?
Well, that's part of it. Now, you always have to take what Treasury yields are with a grain of salt, Corey, because as I try and explain to people from time to time, you know, you've got those out there, and I know I upset people when I point this out, that carry on these cockamamie conspiracy theories of suppression of the gold price. There's manipulation of the gold price and silver and oil and stocks and Treasuries and everything else every single day. Been going on for years. J.P. Morgan got caught at an especially egregious example of manipulating and spoofing precious metals and Treasury prices. But that is not price suppression. Price suppression has occurred in the Treasury market, where if market forces were allowed to work and if the Fed did not keep Treasury yields suppressed by suppressing those and manipulating the market and buying all kinds of Treasury securities, we would have interest rates far, far higher than they are right now, but they're not. So that has made trying to divine the course of interest rates difficult. And for the longest time in recent months, it's been just like dead in the water. You know, the 10-year Treasury yield has been 65 basis points, 67 basis points. All of a sudden, you get a breakout today. Modest one, but in relative terms, as you pointed out, You know, when yields rise by 8 or 9% compared to what they were the previous day, all right, it's eye-catching. What caused it? You've got some institutional money, no doubt, that was selling treasuries just as they were selling the dollar in order to put money back to work in stocks. We'll see how long that lasts. The Fed wants this outcome to some modest extent, just like they wanted a weaker dollar, because in the case of yields, if they get the long end creeping up a little bit, it shows that people are less afraid. It shows that people are more willing to buy their BS that they're going to bring about higher inflation again. It shows people are more willing to buy their BS that the economy is going to be healthy in the end. If only somebody would give us a vaccine, you know, that whole bunch of malarkey. So we'll see. I don't want to put too much emphasis on one day. In my opinion, and this is this week's cover story in the National Investor, is the whole Treasury complex and how it's pretty much become uninvestable. In my opinion, you can't bet in either direction. You know, you can get to Election Day, and I could make a case for half an hour each and convince you that the 10-year yield will crash to their all-time low of 35 or so basis points, or that the 10-year yield will rise well over 1%, and I'll convince you of both. So it depends on the election outcome and how other markets behave right now. So right now it's still uninvestable, but it is something to watch, because after putting us to sleep for so long, the kind of a pop we had in long-term yields today, you know, if it continues, there's something going on.
All right, Chris, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for wrapping up these markets. But, you know, it's interesting. We start every week, and it seems like the last couple of weeks we started on a down note. This week we're starting on an up note. But we do need to consider that we haven't seen any significant breakdowns or breakouts. So it does just continue to be more or less this range-bound trading. Chris, thanks for your time today. We'll chat again as this week progresses. Have a great rest of your Monday.
You too.